Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is an X Tuesday episode. It's also part of our 12 days of the Comic Source. And today I'm going to be talking about Age of X-Men Next Gen number 2. It's written by Ed Brisson. We have art by Marcus Toe. Color art is by Jason Keith and letters are by Clayton Cowles. So just to kind of remind everybody, the Next Generation series is about the next generation of mutants in the age of X-Men. So it's set at the Summers Institute, and a lot of the young X-Men that we saw that felt sort of neglected and left behind in the weekly Uncanny X-Men series are there going to school. So Glob, Armor, Anole, Pixie, Rockslide, Shark Girl, and they're all assigned to one of four kind of houses. So they have the law enforcement, they have the agriculture, they have medicine and history. And we saw in the first issue that Glob was writing a bunch of fan fiction, but it was really him just trying to remember the age before the age of X-Men. He was telling everybody it was fan fiction, but really he remembers what came before and everybody doesn't. So there was a fire, and Pixie and Armor, since they're in that Department of X, in the law enforcement training, they went to try to help with the house fire, and they realized that there were some people they knew that were there being sort of mistreated, and it just looked really suspicious that the other, you know, grown-up members of the Department of X were arresting some of their students and talking about mind wiping them. And so, frightened by what she saw, Armor confided what she saw to Glob, and all of a sudden Glob lit himself on fire, and he attacked her, and it ended on that kind of cliffhanger. So, you know, not sure why Glob would do that. Maybe he was afraid that she was going to expose him somehow. She knew somehow she was confiding in him because he did have the memories from before. So we weren't quite sure, but this issue picks up right where that left off. We see Armor is basically just coated. She looks like a Glob herself. She's coated in the bio wax, and she's yelling at Glob like, "Well, what the hell? Why did you cover me in this stuff?" And he's apologizing. I mean, you know how kind of passive and docile Glob is, and he says, "I don't know how much wax to use." Meanwhile, next day, Anole wakes up, and he sees a vial there of the substance that Apocalypse is able to create that allows people to regain their memories about, you know, what's come before. Those vials, it looks very psychedelic, and, you know, they call it Unveil, and Apocalypse supplies it to everybody. It comes from that mutant that is associated with him, that's part of his extracts group. Very, very psychedelic, very counterculture looking, you know, swirling colors and real rainbow colors and bright and such. So he wakes up, and he apparently left himself a note before he left the night before. And he left it next to this vial of Unveil, and it says, "Open me and breathe deeply, Anole." So he recognizes his own handwriting. He opens it up, he smells it, and he's like, "Oh, holy," you know, because he's realizing that this world that he lives in, the whole fascist state, the whole age of X-Men is, you know, not how the world is supposed to be. So meanwhile, Armor's beaten down on Glob. She's mad, like, "What did you do to me, Glob?" And Glob's trying to explain, "Please, Al, just let me explain." And Armor says that you got 30 seconds. I'm going to go into Dean Angel to lodge a complaint, and you're going to be out of the school by the end of the day. And so he's trying to explain to her, "You don't understand. Like everything, the whole world, the way Age of X-Men is, I don't really know how to explain it. But everybody else thinks that we've been here for years, but we've only been here for months. And people keep going missing, and everybody forgets. And I thought I was going crazy, but I'm not. It's really happening." And obviously Armor's not buying it. He says, "It's true. People break the rules. They're hauled off to prison, and then everybody forgets." Armor's like, "What are you talking about? They don't even have prisons here." I think maybe you're buying too much into your own, you know, fictional writing. Maybe it's time to go get your head examined. And he said, no, that's the thing. It's not fiction. I'm writing down everything I remembered from before we came here, so that there's a record of it. And I only told ER it was fan fiction because I didn't want them to know. Armor's like, them? Who's them? And he says, them, the people who make people disappear. She's like, she's not buying it. She's like, get your hands off me. I'm not buying into your conspiracy theories. And Glob's asking her, well, please don't tell anybody what I've told you. And you know, it's not even that he's worried about getting in trouble. He's probably worried about, you know, about her as well, because, you know, Glob is just so empathetic. And Armor says, well, you know what? I'm not really sure what I'm going to do. I need to think about this. And so a little while later, we see that Armor, in order to get all the bio wax off, had to cut her hair. And people are pretty surprised, like, oh, my God, what'd you do? And she tells Pixie, I don't know, Pixie, I just thought it was time for a change, you know. Meanwhile, when they're sitting down to eat their breakfast, there's a newscast from the previous night. And they're talking about how the X-Men arrived to put the fire out. And the Department X officers confirmed that the house was empty. There was nobody there. Nobody got hurt. And Armor's like, wait, what? She knew people were there. And Rockslide says, I like your hair. I said, I like your hair. He thought when Armor said what, that she was talking to him. And, you know, you can just see kind of the gears turning in Armor's mind. Like, what are you talking about? Nobody was in the house. We saw people. And so she asks if anybody has seen Bling. And remember, Bling was the one that the Blob was threatening to mind wipe, because she was one of the people inside the house and, you know, doing whatever was inside that they were doing inside that was against, you know, the rules of Department of X. And Shark goes like, yeah, she's over there. So Armor goes over to her and says, hey, you got a second? She says, yeah. It's about last night. She says, what about it? Well, I wanted to ask you what happened. You were talking about exposing the truth. She says, I don't know what you're talking about. Armor's like, yeah, last night, like when I saw you at the fire. And Bling says, last night, lady, you are confused. I was with my friends last night studying to the library. And Armor starts to say, but I saw you. And all her friends that are sitting at the table with her eating breakfast, like, you couldn't have seen her. We were there all night, all of us. Ask the librarian if you don't believe us. Another piece of the puzzle for Armor. She's like, maybe Glob was telling the truth. And so Anole strides up then and asks Rockslide, you know, you're in the history discipline, right? He says, yeah. Well, in class, you've studied the life seed, right? He says, yeah. And he said, well, okay. After Hope Summers used the resolution to give everybody powers, what happened to the life seed after that? And he's like, after? He's like, yeah, after. There's no record of it. Hope used it. She gave everyone mutant powers. And then what? And Rockslide's like, huh, I'm not sure. There's got to be a history of it, though. He's like, you know what? I'm going to look into it. I'll get some answers for you. And Noel says, sure, you do that. If you can find an answer, he says kind of to himself as he walks away. And right then, Armor walks up and says, hey, where'd Noel go? I don't know, class, maybe. Speaking of which, we probably should get going. We're going to be late. And Armor says, you guys go ahead. I got something to do first. And she actually heads outside to talk to Glob, who's in the agricultural discipline. And he's feeling kind of down. He's thinking, man, I really thought it would work. I thought Armor would see. I'm so dumb. I got to learn to, you know, keep my mouth shut, or I'm going to get myself in so much trouble. And Armor comes up at that time and she says, you know what? Tell me everything. And but first explain the wax. And so Glob starts telling her, you know, everybody, I don't know, they seem to get their minds erased. And whenever they're messing with somebody's mind, it makes them think that we've always been here. It makes people forget, except it doesn't seem to work on me. I never seem to forget anything. And so I thought it must be because of my biowax, like blocking it somehow. And so I thought if I covered you with the biowax, that might work. And Armor says, yeah. And I guess I can explain the rest. And that would explain why I remember the news differently and why Bling thought I was crazy when I asked her about last night. So what did happen last night? What's Anole wrapped up in? And Glob's like, he keeps doing it. He keeps falling with this group of, radicals, I guess you'd call them. And Armor's like, what, Keeps? He's like, yeah, he's done it twice before. And both times they mind wiped him and they made him forget, but he keeps getting sucked back in. Like he's predisposed to act out this way. But the thing is, from what I can tell, they only give you, you know, three strikes. So, you know, they'll mind wipe you twice. And after the third time, you disappear. And, you know, I've seen it happen to a couple other students. They just vanish one day and nobody even remembers them ever being here. But Anole's my friend. I can't let that happen. So then the scene shifts to the library. Rockslide's doing some research about the resolution, and he's trying to find some answers. And he goes to the librarian and he says, you know, I've been looking for information on the life seed. Like, there's plenty of information about it right up until the resolution happens. But then after that, nothing. And the librarian's like, well, there must be something. Just check the card catalog. He's like, yeah, I triple checked it. And I read every book about the resolution twice, and there's nothing. And she says, wow, that is curious. Tell you what, let me put in a request and see if I can scrounge something up for you. But what she's actually writing on the paper is, students asking about the missing life seed information seems distraught. Should I report to Dean Angel? And then she asks Rockslide, what was her name again? So clearly there's some secret there. Like, maybe there really wasn't ever a life seed. You know, maybe it's all just fake, but who knows? Meanwhile, in the medical theater, for the students that are in that discipline, the teacher is taking a role, and Anole is not there. Likewise, in the civil management class for the Department of X, the law enforcement, Sunfire's taking role, and Hasako's not there. Armor is not there. And finally, in the agricultural division, Paige Guthrie is taking role, and Glob is not there. And she's really concerned about that because he's already behind in his studies as it is. Can't afford to go missing any classes. So later that night, we see Anole leaving his room, sneaking out through the window. He goes to some safe house, I'll call it, and meets up with some other mutants. And, you know, they're happy to see them. They breathe deep, and everybody is breathing deep and receiving the words of wisdom of En Sabaner, so Apocalypse. And the others are waiting in the front room, and we see some other members of the resistance, and Anole goes in there, and they're good. They're happy to see him. They're like, what happened after what happened last night when those fascists burned down our place of worship? So apparently where the fire was last night was some sort of church where they worship Apocalypse, I guess, or the truth or whatever, you know, his whole extracts type religion. And it's like, yeah, they did it to try to scrub the scriptures of truth and to silence the words of En Sabaner. And, you know, we prayed that we would see you again, that you would remember. And I'm happy my prayers have been answered and they didn't mind wipe you again. And he says, no, well, they did, but I still had a vial of Unveil left and it helped me remember. And Japheth, who's sort of the leader of this cell, I'll call it, says, yeah, that reminds me. My supplier for Unveil seems to have vanished. Another victim of Department X, no doubt. So these are probably the last vials we're going to see for a while, so make sure to keep it safe. And he hands out some vials to the three other members that are there. Meanwhile, back in the dorms, Armor and Glob are looking around for Anole, and they can't find him. They're like, are you sure he's already with the Radicals? And Glob says, well, I mean, he's done it twice already. And so they knock on the door and there's no answer. So they go in, and Glob's like, we can't just break into his room. He's like, well, if he's in trouble, we need to know where he went. So maybe he left behind some clue. And Glob says, it might be too late. This is a vial of Unveil. And if he's taken already, then he's remembered. And that means he's probably gone back to his group. So clearly Glob has seen Unveil before, knows what it does. And back at the safe house, Japheth is telling him, okay, this is how we expose the truth. This is their plan. And they have schematics and blueprints for the Hope Summers Memorial Library. And Japheth is saying, this is the heart of their propaganda machine, the nexus of their lies. And there's an empty room on the fifth floor. It's never used. I checked. And in that room, we're going to change history. We're going to free the people. And Anole says, well, how are we going to do that? Japheth takes him over behind this curtain and throws it aside. And he says, we're going to do what the extracts and other followers of En Sabaner haven't had the courage to do. You know, they're so caught up in preaching their message of peace and love, but we're going to end the facade. We're going to end the lies. And when he pulls back the curtain, he shows Anol a bomb. And he says, we're going to blow up their library of falsehoods and cease the spread of misinformation and lies. And we're going to become martyrs for the truth. And the look on Anol's face, you can tell he's just uncertain. Like, is this a good idea? They're followers of En Sabaner. They're followers of Apocalypse. They kind of, you know, worship his religion or however you want to say it. Maybe it's him, Apocalypse himself, that they revere. But yeah, Apocalypse messages, you know, togetherness and belonging and getting along. Mutants are meant to be together, not apart. They're all more alike than they are different. He certainly doesn't, you know, it's passive resistance that he is promoting. And this is completely away from that. So you even wonder, like, why, what is it about Japheth? I mean, he's taking the unveil. He knows the truth. Is it just similar to Anol, where he's predisposed to rebel and to seek out this group? Maybe Japheth is predisposed to, you know, more violent acts or just more active forms of resistance rather than being passive and, you know, hoping to love them to death. So anyway, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the plan. It is a pretty big bomb. And the other thing I wonder, so there's this room in the library that supposedly is always empty. He checked. Does that mean that it does have a purpose, though? For X-Men, like, maybe it's not empty. Maybe he just can't see what's in there. It's hidden from them or something. So, because you have to wonder, like, why would they just be leaving a particular room empty? It seems strange. And what are the other members of the, you know, what are Glob and Armor and Pixie and Rockslide? What are they all going to do? Like, are they going to be told the truth? Are they going to be able to remember? So a lot of questions, with this younger group of former X-Men and what they might do. Because again, they're training in this reality, you know, in our reality or the 616 reality, they were already X-Men. Even if they were treated like junior members, they didn't see themselves as junior members. They saw themselves as full-fledged members. In this reality, with them being enrolled in the school, it's much more kind of subservient, and they're much more questioning even after they have truth. You know, Glob and Armor, they understand that everybody else is, you know, sort of brainwashed, but even they are still somewhat subjecting themselves to authority. They're being a little bit submissive, and you know, they don't question their teachers, and certainly the others who are still under the spell, so to speak, and don't have any idea, that they're very submissive to the people that are in charge. They respect them, and they believe they've earned that respect, and they should do what they say and follow the rules. And so it's a very interesting dynamic. It's certainly, when you behave like that, you don't question anything, you take everything your superiors or your you know, the older generation is saying as truth, because they've lived it, they've, you know, learned it, they've they're better than you. They're older than you. They're your heroes. You look up to them, right? That's just the way that fascism wins, when you stop questioning and thinking for yourself. So it's good to see at least Armor and Glob thinking for themselves. And I'm especially glad that it's Armor, right? She's always been sort of the leader. Hisako, she's already always been sort of the leader of this younger group. And, you know, she is a more active person as well. She's not one to passively resist. So I wonder if she's going to get pulled into this scheme of bombing the library. So quick word about the art and the colors from Marcus Toe. I think the art's done really, really well. Marcus Toe is a very solid artist. His lines are just a tad bit thick for my taste. I wouldn't mind him seeing a little bit lighter line weights, but his storytelling's great. He moves the camera around a lot, switches up the angles, and his line work and his anatomy and his layouts, all of that is done really well. He doesn't get too crazy with the panel layouts on the page, but he does switch it up and use insets and what have you to keep us from kind of getting bored with it. And the colors, they're sufficiently bright. Definitely feels like a superhero comic, but not so bright that it starts to kind of, you know, move over into that innocent all ages feel, if that makes sense. So I think the art here is done very, very well. So anyway, that's going to do it for this episode. I once again will wish everybody a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate. I hope it's a joyous time. Hopefully you get to spend some time with your family. And if not, if you're staying away, if you're social distancing for purposes of keeping everybody safe, you know, shout out to you. That's great that you're being responsible. Hopefully you'll be able to at least see your family virtually on Zoom or Skype or FaceTime or what have you. And, you know, we're all looking forward to a better 2021. This year has been kind of rough. So I hope everybody's enjoying all these extra episodes that we're putting out to give everyone a chance to enjoy the love of comics in this holiday season. So once again, thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.